Welcome to Two Piece Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
Unfortunately, this will not be a regular Season 2 episode. This is going to be a special edition episode because just this week was the E4All
convention. Now, why do you say unfortunately? The special editions are supposed to be like, you are so privileged to be able to be here at this point in history.
Well, I know people are probably looking forward to, like, some of the changes that we're going to bring to Season 2. Don't get too excited, everybody. But, you know, it's like, I don't want to make it feel like, oh, we're just, this is the new show here. We're going to spend the entire thing talking about E4All, and that's it. This is going to be a little bit of a different thing, so you'll have to hold off one more week for some of our planned excitement. But, so yeah, it's E4All. This is the second year of its existence, correct?
Second and possibly final.
Possibly the last.
I don't know, man. They're gonna really have to work hard. I thought last year was a good start.
Yes. Oh, excellent.
And
start.
A lot of the media was really negative about it because it wasn't like, you know, the E3 of old, and it just couldn't live up to that. And of course not. It was its first year, and
right, and we were kind of talking about, well, they're just, you know, the elite media, you know, so you know, for just a fan to come in and play some of these brand new games, I mean, that's enough for us, you know. They've already gotten to play these games, so they're, you know, they're spoiled, and they don't see the what's so great about being at E4All. But the problem this year was that they didn't have any great games to play.
Yeah, I would say the big downfall was Nintendo not showing up, because last year they were E4All. I mean, they had huge booths. I mean, as soon as you walked in the door, all you saw was Nintendo, you know?
Yes, with their giant snow cone-shaped banners.
They had all those banners hanging from the roof. They had the big Brawl tournament. They had it was the first time Brawl was playable in the U.S. It was, the first time Super Mario Galaxy was
playable. I'm pretty sure it was first time playable in the world.
Yeah, I don't think it was, but
I think it was.
We disagree on that point. But regardless,
I'll fact check it.
Regardless, it was a huge deal, and I mean, they had tons of games, all the Zapper games, none of which were out yet.
Right, we had Mario Galaxy was there.
Mm-hmm. They had rows and rows of stations with different games.
Yes,
and
all kinds of different. Yeah, Mario and Sonic the Olympic Games.
Unfortunately,
I mean, not that I was dying to play that or anything, but and then you even had Metal Gear Solid 4 was playable. For the first time.
Konami had their really cool booth there, basically, like this enclosed thing with a chain link fence, and a huge line for that. It took like an hour to get through.
You had a whole bunch of Xbox games for like the Team Fortress game, where you could play against people on a network that was already set up.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty wild. I mean, so it made stuff like, you know, Fatality's going to be there was like, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous, and I'm not going to go near that booth because it's pathetic looking compared to. You know, it's just like, who really wanted to go see Fatality and, like, get an autograph? Oh my god, you're my favorite gamer.
I have your rookie card. I mean, yeah, it was kind of dumb. So there was plenty, I think there was plenty to see for a day. And, I mean, no, there weren't huge lines on the day we went. We went on a Friday.
Right.
But there was a lot to see, and that wasn't the case this time.
No. That's right. We're not talking about the last E4All. We're talking about this E4All. A, Nintendo wasn't there. B, was Microsoft even there?
Microsoft was there, but I think because Nintendo wasn't there, they really didn't put in much of an effort.
Okay.
It was almost like there was no competition, you know?
And then Sony wasn't there, right?
Sony was not there, no.
Okay. And then what was the next biggest thing that we had?
I mean, EA was there.
Yes.
And they had a few games.
Couple little booths set up.
Really, the biggest booth was Target. And that's not even a joke, but it is kind of funny.
Not a joke.
they had quite a few games on all the different systems. I'm being serious right now.
I know. It's just very pathetic. I was like, well, you know who the big winner was Target. Target brought out all the games for this convention. Like, why freaking Target? Why did Target have to be the one to bring all the Wii games? Because they had, like, Wii Fit. They had Smash Brothers there. You know, but they're all old stuff, too. I mean, nothing was fresh. The only thing new, I think, that they brought was Guitar Hero World Tour, basically.
I don't know. Was Shaun White Snowboarding out yet? I don't think it is.
Yeah, Shaun White Snowboarding is not out yet, no.
So that was there. But they had, like, one of those. And then, yeah, they had a lot of Guitar Hero World Tour stations.
Yes. Yeah, they had a whole bunch. And everyone was lining up to play that game. Because basically it was the only new big game that was there.
Right.
And, I mean, other than that, there was, like, nothing. I mean, there was Fatality. Again, he was back. That was one of the big attractions, was... If you couldn't get enough Fatality last year, he's back.
The problem is, it became a PC show.
It did. Honestly, it was no longer video games. It was just computer games. Like, the majority of it was computer games. And that was very strange to me, because I was even talking to you, you know, how many different kinds of controllers did I pick up? I picked up one PS3 controller, picked up two Xbox controllers.
And a Guitar Hero.
And a Guitar Hero guitar was basically it. So, that's pretty bad, because the rest of the time was spent on keyboards and mice.
I mean, here's an indication for me, because we did get in as media this year, which was cool.
Yes. I'm with the media.
I'm with the media. We didn't actually say that to anybody, but,
We talked that game a lot, though. We were strutting our cool stuff, like, we're practicing it, we're with the media. We walk in the doors, and we just kind of gave up.
Flash our badge, you know? No, yeah. We just kind of walked in the door. I was looking at our badges, it was basically the same as everybody else's, but it had a company name on it, you know?
Yeah, people thought we worked there, because we had badges, and it looked like the people who worked there that had badges.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But anyway, we would get emails from companies that wanted us to set up meetings with them, to interview them, or to just check out their new products, and maybe we'd write about it on our site or something, you know?
Yes. I was pretty quick to be like, yeah, let's interview some of these people, you know? And you'd always say, like, why? I'm like,
yeah,
why not?
It's like, what do we have to say to them?
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And basically you explained it, right? I mean, you're like... Like, this, what was it, some PC game, like, it was like a World of Warcraft PC game, basically.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're not interested in that kind of game, and we don't play that, and it has nothing in relation to our site, basically, besides just being a computer game. Like what is it that our readers are going to want to learn about this company? And it was kind of a good point. I mean, we had really nothing to talk about with them.
Like, I just envisioned sitting in an interview and being like, So, you know, I mean, that's all I have to say.
And my first question would be like, have you guys ever played Smash Brothers?
Yeah, exactly. We're here to talk about this game. So we did not do any interviewing, because every email I got for an invitation to kind of interview them or come by their booth, it was all PC stuff. Somebody invented a jacket that would vibrate when you hit different areas on the first-person shooter, or... there's a bunch of different, like, startup MMOs, and it's kind of like, that's great for you, but that's not what we're here for. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Ubisoft or EA was like, you know, come interview us for,
Well, speaking of Ubisoft, they had a booth.
Yeah, the most pathetic booth I've ever seen.
It was horrible. It was so bad.
It was like an 8x8 square, basically.
Yeah.
And it had in each corner, it had a screen and a console.
Two of them
were Far Cry 2, and the other two were what?
I forget. It was something else, but it was just, that was it. They had two games on four screens. That was their entire booth.
Yeah, and...
All of Ubisoft.
And last year, I mean, I guess they were kind of coupled with Nintendo. Nintendo showed off some of their games, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it was just a really sad... I mean, why even bother at that point? They're way in the back, kind of hidden. They had this little booth, and... I mean, I guess some people are going to be interested in Far Cry 2, you know?
Right.
But it didn't even look that good.
Remember, well, I mean, it looked grayscale to me. As soon as I saw it, I'm like... It's like someone forgot to turn up the color on the TV or something. It's so just the most bland, gray, brown jungle I've ever seen in my life.
The other side of it was there were, this is the real sad part, was there's a lot of pathetic things there, like last year it was somewhat big, you know, it was kind of a bigger deal.
Yeah, it had its share of really big stuff going on, and then a couple little dwindler lame things in the back that no one really cared about, but that was acceptable because there was a mixture of a lot of things.
Right, so like Game Trailers was there last year, and they had a huge booth, like a two-story booth, and there was like a DJ doing stuff on top.
Yes.
They were going around interviewing big, you know, Konami people, and this person, you know, it's like, oh, who's that guy they're interviewing? You could see it live.
That's
and all
right.
That stuff.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of people there.
Yeah, it was all sorts of stuff, and you know, it's like, it was okay. You didn't think anything of it, really. So there were a couple of companies that tried to do stuff kind of similar to that, but it was so small and kind of sad that when you see three people up there, like on microphones, kind of talking to basically nobody in the crowd, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was really like, why are you even talking? No one's listening. There's nobody there. Like, literally, there's like three people in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what they were. It was like some sort of gaming competition thing.
Yeah, it was like, oh, meet the world-class gamers or whatever. And there was like a referee there, too. And I'm like, why is there a referee for, like, what? Like, oh, he used the cheat code. I saw him. I don't understand what good a referee would be for that.
Well, I mean, there's referees when you, like, you're going for a record or something. There has to be, like, a witness, basically.
Okay.
But I didn't see anybody going for records or...
It was all competition. It was just one versus the other. Because I know they had, like... I mean, there was a huge part of that place that was a tournament, basically. Right?
Right. In the back, yeah.
Yeah, and it was for all kinds of different games. I saw StarCraft being played. I saw Virtua Fighter 5 and Counter-Strike and Halo 3. And, of course, no Smash Brothers. I would have been there all day if there's a Smash Brothers tournament, but no.
No.
I mean, none of those games really interested me to want to watch the tournaments. And the way that they were filming it made it hard to follow the action. It was just it was a very sad event because after such promise that last year had, this one just had nothing. There was nothing. There was just no substance to this one. It was just a lot of. I mean, it was fun to walk around and just play lots of different games that you had never played before and kind of tinker around with stuff. But when none of those games are waiting to be released, like, very few of them are, like, brand new coming out later. I mean, last year had a lot of that sort of thing, thanks in part to Nintendo, of course.
Yeah.
And it was kind of depressing. I mean, we spent 7 hours there, but...
Yeah, for instance... All of EA's games were already released. Some of them have been released for like 6 months.
Right.
That's a problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just, yeah, it wasn't... It was just a
little sad. I think my favorite image, though, was there was a Smash Brothers... The Smash Brothers was there this year.
Yes,
and
it was back. It was back.
It was back.
Force, you know,
because last year they had like a stadium seating, you know, to watch people play Smash Bros on a big screen. People were there. They're cheering. Everyone. No one could wait any longer to play that game. This year there was one screen with one controller, not even two controllers. They didn't want people to play against each other. No, just one controller for Smash Brothers, and there was one dude playing it. It was so funny to look at because it's like.
This
is
one of Target's. This,
yeah,
is Target's doing.
One of the biggest things last year, and now this year it's like one dude's playing it with no one in line after him. It's like, that's a very strange image to see. And it's like, so imagine all this stuff that we're seeing this year, imagine it next year. No one would give a frick, okay? So if we keep on this downward spiral, it's going to be just a terrible show for sure later on where there's just nothing good. I mean, there was definitely some good things here. I enjoyed my time. But it was just sad. There wasn't more.
Yeah, when you look at the big picture, it's like this is not the kind of show that's going to survive. The problem. Well, one comment on the Smash Brothers thing. Smash Brothers wasn't the only game to screw up the two controller thing. I could not believe, like, they had Castle Crashers there with one controller. The whole point of that game is to play co-op. So why would you have one controller? And then on the other side, there's an HDTV with Viva Pinata with two controllers.
Yeah, I'm like, and we tried Viva Pinata and we, you know, moved our circles around planning and digging. It's like, who would want to play this? It's like, oh, hey, come to Ifrol and play Animal Crossing for 10 minutes. Like,
right.
No, that's the pointless. Point? Why would I ever want to do that with a friend?
Yeah, and then Castle Crashers, which is a pick-up-and-play, play a level, it's fun, one controller.
One controller. And then we couldn't do crap on our own. I was horrible at that game.
Yeah, we needed the second person. So some of the companies made some really stupid choices with the controllers, but regardless, I think I have to blame E4All a little bit for not having Nintendo there.
That's right, yeah.
Last year, Nintendo had a media summit near the beginning of October, just like this year. And E4All was, like, the third or fourth week in October. It was, like, a week before Halloween, I think. This year, they moved up E4All, for whatever reason, to the same exact timing as Nintendo's media summit. So, with the kind of tepid response they had last year, Nintendo probably pouring a lot of money into it. They had huge booths and stuff. You know, they weren't going to stretch themselves and try to do it again this year when it seemed like the response wasn't that great, you know?
Maybe,
especially
yeah.
if the timing was wrong. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened behind the scenes or whatever. Maybe they couldn't get the LA Convention Center at the same dates or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that really kind of handcuffed Nintendo. And if Nintendo had come out right away and said, yeah, we'll be there next year, I think that would have pushed the other companies to join them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it could have helped it grow, but instead it really shrunk, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but,
it's unfortunate, but,
yeah.
You know, there were a few redeeming factors, I think, right?
Yes, and that will take us to our picks of E4All. We both have a favorite game of ours that was the best game at E4All, hands down. Tim, you want to go first?
Sure. To preface it, one of the highlights in general, which I kind of mentioned on the website beforehand, I was looking forward to something called Indiecade, and it was basically like 20 finalists of independent games, some of the best independent games that these people could find, and they were showcasing them at E4All. And so there was like a nice HDTV in the game at each station. And it was kind of fun.
Yeah, they had like headphones to put on so you could hear the music or the sound effects.
Right. So it was pretty fun to just kind of go around and see. I mean, all different genres.
Yeah, games that you've never heard of before, ever. You know,
and it's
focused on like the gameplay over the graphics most of the time because they don't have the big budgets to be pumping out intense graphics. So a lot of it was like flash gaming or things like that, and things that we had never heard of. So it was fun to go around and see these different games and play them and not have any kind of expectation for them.
Right. Yeah, and independent games are always fun to check out because a lot of times there's some new ideas there that haven't been done before, and it's just somebody thought of it and they were decent at programming, and it may not seem like a big budget thing, but it's just fun because the gameplay's there. And so my pick is going to go to, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, but Machinarium. Or Machinarium.
Right.
It's basically a point-and-click adventure, just like the old King's Quests and, you know, all your old Lucas games. And the art style is just magnificent. If you go to Machinarium.com, I guess, Ray, you'll put
I'll have
it
a link,
there
yeah. A link on the podcast right
a,
now.
A live link there. But just scroll down through the site and you'll see different screenshots of this game.
They have a little preview movie too, right? Where you can see a few moments.
And there is a preview movie that kind of shows the gameplay, but the screenshots really show off just how beautiful the world really is. Like hand-drawn backgrounds, and basically you play as this little robot and you have to click on the right things to make, you know, get to the next screen and all that, and just very fun and imaginative and really cool overall, and that turned us on to two previous games that these guys have done, which are very similar, that have already been released. This game, Machinarium, won't be released till 2009, but on the site you can check out demos of their previous games too, and kind of get a taste of what it's like.
It was really funny though when we first saw Machinarium, because you clicked new game, you sat down, you started clicking away at the thing, and within about three clicks, we were stumped. We're like, what the frick are we supposed to do right now? Like, we had just...
And I came back to it, like, three or four times.
And we're like, I don't understand. So, I mean, we were really, like, we're fairly smart people, right? I mean, like, this can't be that difficult. I mean, there's only so many things I can click on right now, and nothing's working. And, like, we'd move the cursor at the top of the screen, like a dark, transparent bar would drop down. And, like, it's like, why is there a transparent bar there? It has nothing, like, nothing happens with that. And we're really, really confused. And no one could get past that level. And even you...
Well, yeah, because there were people watching. There's always kind of a crowd there because the graphics were really compelling, mm-hmm. you know? And people would be watching. So I'd get up and let other people try, and they had the same issue, you know? Like, nobody could figure this out.
You were
so
pissed. You were pissed, because you were...
I was really upset.
You were, like, three clicks into this game, basically. There was, like, nothing else you could do past that. Like, there was nothing you could do. We tried everything.
And honestly, you were trying
to look up online to see if anyone's played this game yet. Like, what's the answer? Because I am totally stumped. And you were even like, I feel like this is some kind of a psychological test.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, I honestly, to this point, I'm like, there is no way past this with what we're given. This is probably, so they're probably recording us and they're doing some sort of psychological test on determination or something,
right.
You know, and that's the game. Really funny,
right.
You know. And so I found the site, I looked in the forums, nobody had played it yet, this is like the first time it's
right.
been shown. But there was a little preview movie, it's on the site, and I watched it for little hints. And interestingly enough, I finally watched it enough times to see that, you know, when you move your mouse to the top and that gray bar comes down, that's your inventory.
Right, and we were like, there was nothing in that inventory ever. There was never anything up there.
There was nothing. But we did pick up something, and we knew we had to do something with it.
It's like, well, I guess we're supposed
so
to
we're
click
like,
on it in the inventory, but
item?
I swear it was not in the inventory. It was not there. Like, we swore to it. So
we come back, and we
no,
try
no, no,
again,
we did not get to try it again, because someone was already sitting there, right? So now that we knew, now that we knew what we needed to do, there was always someone sitting there playing it. And when we went back that first time, there was a girl playing the game. And we're like, is she doing anything? What is she doing? Oh, she's talking on her cell phone. We're like, why is she sitting in the chair?
She wasn't even touching the keyboard or the mouse.
She was just sitting there talking on her phone. We're like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, so we're sitting there waiting, and you kind of like walked up like you're really interested,
so
you know?
I walked right up there. I kind of peered up to the screen like I was interested in playing the game. And she kind of just like crossed her legs and turned
like
the other direction. I'm like... That is so rude.
So then it's like, so we go and we play something else. We're like, oh, it's open. We'd start to walk over to it again. Someone else would sit down, you know.
Right before we get there, somebody sits down.
And it wasn't like
that?
The lines were big or anything. I mean, it was very open. No one was playing these games half the time. So it was like, it shouldn't be that hard for us to sit down at this game finally. And every time, and then the next person that sat down, he'd be playing the game. And then like, he stopped and would start texting on his cell phone. And his friends came over and started chatting with him while he's at the game, and he's still texting. And we're like, what is it with people on their cell phones during this game? Jeez Louise, people, get off of it. But eventually we did get back to the station.
Well, so in the end, what I realized was the resolution on the game was different than the resolution on the screen.
Right.
So the inventory, the first item in the inventory was cut off because the resolution was wrong. So I made the resolution bigger on the screen. Sure
we
enough,
had to we minimized the program. We went into the system preferences, fixed the resolution. It's like, we should not have to do something like that.
Yeah. So I told the guys working there, I'm like, you got to make sure, because honestly, for like 4 or 5 hours, nobody was getting past the first screen of this game. It really wasn't until what was it, 2 or 3, before we
finally
got it going.
Yeah, broke that. And
so that was unfortunate, but you know. It still was a really awesome game. Once we got past that, we did a little bit more, and just to finish up, I'll probably put a post up there with some of their other games too, because they're just really intriguing. So,
well, my pick of the show, easily hands down, goes to the game called Fly Wrench. I had never heard of this before. It was also part of the Indie Arcade. And it is really, really basic graphics. I mean, we're talking squares and circles.
Atari.
Yeah, Atari, basically looking. But it's not using Flash, and it's not like an Atari emulator or anything. It's runs on its own program. I'm not sure what runs it, but it was for the Windows. And basically, your horizontal bar that can fall through the sky, basically. And each level is like a little mini obstacle course where you have to make it to the end without touching the walls. The simplicity of the game is astonishing. You just use the arrow keys. I'm trying to think of how to explain this. Basically, there's different walls of colors, and you have to pass through those walls as that same color. And the way you change color is by using up or down, will change you into red or green. But when you change color, you also change ability.
Yeah, basically, if you push up, you're flapping your wings to go up, but you also turn
and if
red.
But if you have to hold it to stay red. But when you hold it, you flapped your wings, and you're not flapping anymore. So you just drop. You start dropping like a rock. So it's a very difficult game because you have to figure out how to use your abilities to get past the walls and not touch the edges and make sure you're the right color at all times. And they start doing some really tricky stuff, and it got insanely difficult for us. I mean, it was so hard. I basically sat there for at least an hour, if not more, and tried to beat that game. Because I mean, we were watching somebody play. And even you, Tim, were like, oh my god, why does he keep dying? That's so easy.
It looks really easy. And then when you get there, you're like, okay.
I just messed up. Oh, big deal. I'll keep trying. And it's infinite lives. You have infinite lives. And as soon as you die, it restarts. So it's like you never want to give up because you always have, like, you're already back in the action right away. So you're like, okay, I'll just try again. And the levels are really short, too. They're not very long. So it's like, I just need to get past that one wall and I'll be good. You know? And it's like, you were there just playing and playing and playing, and I was trying to beat a level, and we were just having so much trouble. It was just a lot of fun. It was very challenging, it was visually interesting, even though it was very basic. It was just a total blast. Mm-hmm. And eventually I did beat the game with like a running time of 58 minutes. And it's like no one else was around to want to play it, but I mean it was hard as heck, and that was easily my favorite game of the show, hands down. And it was very sad too, because here I am, last year's Smash Brothers, just an amazing game is there. This year, my favorite game is Fly Wrench, a little horizontal bar that can fly, okay? I mean, that's pretty sad. But at the same time, it was very awesome. So, I definitely had a favorite game there. And we came back to Tim's place, and we wanted to find out if these games were actually available yet or not, because you couldn't quite tell from E4L. So, for instance, whatever that game was.
Macarena?
Yeah.
What? Macanarium?
That one's not available yet, clearly. But we got to play some of his older games. But we found out that Fly Wrench is available right now for free. It's only available to PC users, unfortunately. But click the link or do a Google search for Fly Wrench. Check it out. Download it. See how fast you can beat that game. It's awesome. And I think part of the thing, though, is that it was very disorienting playing it at E4All. Because you sat right in front of a really huge HD
monitor.
Yeah,
you're in front of like a 40-inch screen
or something. Oh, it was huge. And you're like this, there's all these, and it's just Atari looking, right? So, I mean, it was very disorienting to try to do things, really quickly when all these colors are flying by your eyes. I mean, it was very disorienting. So when you play on your computer screen, it might be a little easier than it was for us, just because you have a better view of the whole scene, and it's not quite as, it's not going to make you, get dizzy and throw up or anything, so... please, I beg you, check out that game and play it. It's awesome. It's free. Do it. Do it now. Fly Wrench. Oh, yep. And by the way, before I went to bed last night, I went back and I played it on Tim's computer again, just to see if I could do it any faster. And I was able to beat it in 6 minutes.
Which, so that might sound contradictory to some people that, oh, it's really, really hard. I beat the whole game in 6 minutes.
Right.
But... I mean, you have to really practice. And
yeah,
kind of
I had to play.
It.
I had to play. I had to beat it 3 more times in a row before I could get down to the 6 minute goal.
Right.
It was. So, I mean, it takes a lot of skills. It's very fun, very challenging. Please check it out.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple other decent games. I really like the PB Winterbottom game, mm-hmm. which is going to be coming out for Xbox 360.
I thought Guitar Hero World Tour was really good. And
yeah, it was.
The
it
drums were nice. Well. The guitar was really, really sturdy. It was definitely the best Guitar Hero guitar I've ever used.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you played Shaun White snowboarding. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, it really was, actually. It was very natural. I mean, within 10 seconds, I caught on to what was going on, and I had fun. And I don't have Wii Fit anymore, so I won't get that game. But
right.
if you have the balance board and you're waiting for something decent, I'd say that's a pretty fun experience. So
yeah.
I mean, what else was there? Gamer Grub.
Game.
Which is basically, like, different flavored, like trail mix, kind of snack mix.
Yeah, it's like cracker, pizza-flavored crackers and trail mix and peanut butter and jelly. I don't remember.
Each flavor was a different like genre of game.
So there was lame.
There was action pizza, sports something, strategy chocolate. I think
it was so bad. Right? And the girls seem interested in what 2-piece start was because she saw us we were wearing our shirts. So she was like, "Oh,
yeah." She's like, "Oh, how much traffic do you get? You know, what is the site? All this
kind
stuff."
Of pleasant conversation.
And then she was like, "Well, would you ever do a comic about a gaming product like this?
You wanna maybe sneak in a little gamer grub in your comic there?" And we're just like,
I really didn't know what to say. I was like,
"Yeah, I mean, you're really nice. You're a really nice guy."
So I was just trying to be nice.
You are a nice guy, and you're just like, "Yeah, you know, we'll see. We can see what we can do there." And
but I was really kind of appalled that
it's like I've only known you for about 1 minute, and you're already trying to get me to put gamer grub in our comic. Like, thanks.
Well, here's the thing: it's like you don't really ask to be in a web comic because usually it's really insulting. You know, I mean, we're pretty nice, but you know, occasionally, like with Lair and stuff like that, it's like people make mistakes huge enough that it's like we have to make a comic about this. This is too funny, you know?
Right?
But Penny Arcade did make a Gamer Grub comic.
Yeah, and they ripped on it hard.
It wasn't very nice, and we would never do that.
It was kind of offensive to me.
I don't even remember what it was, but they even wrote in the post about it and were just really, I mean, on this angry tirade about it.
I mean, we're not that angry about gaming food, but
I mean, it was just kind of funny to us, but I don't think we would ever do that,
right?
You know? But the point is, you don't ask to be in a webcomic.
Yeah, I know.
Just don't. You're gonna get in that webcomic and you're not gonna like what you see.
So last year we had the E for All comic where we basically praised E for All, and you know, the lady from E for All contacted us like, "Oh, hey, thanks for the cool comic, you know, it was really nice to see people appreciate it." But I mean, this week for the comic we're kind of unsure of what we want to do, because
we're leaning towards another E for All comic, which wouldn't be quite as
so we'll see
nice.
What we do. And Sam was like, "So you do realize we need to do a Gaming Grub comic now, right? Like, just total product placement right in the comic." And I laughed, but I mean, that's kind of inside joke just for us. So maybe somewhere we'll have it hidden in the background just to, I don't know, we'll see.
So anyhow, I think that covers.
Then that wraps it up. You know, Nintendo had a lot of stuff to talk about, and we are going to get to that next week, unfortunately. So
yeah, there's a lot of new Nintendo stuff, and it's just too much.
There's too much we want to say
for this podcast.
So next week we will definitely be having our real season premiere, I guess you could say. We got some cool stuff planned for it, so look forward to that. That'll do it for 2-Piece Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except not a special edition and actually does multiple topics. And that's a lot better. So with that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Hey, are you still recording?